This is Harold Fanning Jr., and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch, the Week 12 Fantasy Football Preview Edition, the All Business Edition. I'm Alex Dunlap here with the Trash Man as Cody Carpentier is jet setting. He's doing anything but jet setting. He's driving across the country as his jet was unfortunately grounded due to weather issues. So, Trash Man.
I don't think Cody's ever been on a plane.
Well, he's certainly not on one right now. Make sure to go check out the rosterwatch.com for all the tools we'll be referencing here throughout the show, and to check out our player prop cheat sheet for this week. We've just got it updated, and it's now feeding into the hyper picks, pick'em parlay generator. We can just go in there, click the number of entries that you want, and you will get picks that we have put in through the week that we like on Prize Picks, Underdog, and of course for your single game parlays or wherever it is you're playing those. So go check it out, rosterwatch.com. All right, Trash Man, let's get into this slate. We'll start out with the New York Jets at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens here are 13.5-point favorites at home in a complete must-win type of game here. We have 65% of the tickets on the Ravens as I'm looking at the single-game odds widget here on the premium section at Roster Watch, 71% of the money. So the public is on the Ravens laying the points, and the money is on the Ravens laying the points. 44.5 is the over-under, 56% of the tickets right now on the under, along with 60% of the money. So general agreement here between the public and where the money is going. As far as the matchups here in this game, Baltimore in the New York Jets gets good matchups for opposing quarterbacks. They get good matchups across the board here as far as the Jets. So Baltimore in a good spot here as far as their matchups. Now, what the Jets face in Baltimore, Baltimore's gotten better. Still a little bit of trailing data from earlier in the season whenever they weren't quite as healthy as they are now, but we do schedule adjust the matchup tool, and we do only take into account at this point in the season the last 10 weeks. So it's starting to look like Baltimore is kind of a middling to kind of getting bad sort of matchup here. As far as the injuries in this game, we know that Josh Reynolds and Garrett Wilson are both out. Rashad Bateman's looking like he's going to be out for the Ravens. He DNP'd Wednesday or Thursday. I've not seen whether he practiced today, but it wasn't looking good for him. Lamar Jackson was limited to start the week, but on Thursday he went full, so he should be good. Trash Man, I'm interested to see how you think this thing sets up. For me, I know that Lamar Jackson's been frustrating. I don't know if this is the week where he starts running and gets you back to the old vintage Lamar Jackson stuff, or whether they're going to have this game well in hand, because I do feel like it's just a dream setup for Derrick Henry. A must-win game, 13-point favorites at home. It's not quite December, but he could want to ring in D-Hember just a little bit early this week. I think if you have Zay Flowers, you just have to keep rolling him against the Jets with no Sauce Gardner. Mark Andrews becoming scarier and scarier to bench. I think you can probably get him in this week. As far as the Jets, Tyrod Taylor gets the start.
Tyrod Taylor.
His starting wide receivers are A.D. Mitchell, or you're going to tell me Adonai Mitchell, right? Who actually, dude, looked good getting open and stuff last week, but just can't hold on to the football. I was perplexed at his inability to hold on to the football last week.
Michael Pittman says he's one of the best route runners he's ever seen.
Who's
Michael Pittman?
Okay. John Metchie and Tyler Johnson. That's going to round out Tyrod Taylor's wide receivers there. So,
hey, Narrative Street, it's a revenge game for Tyrod Taylor, in essence.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that makes some sense to me. Brees, a lot of revenge this week. Aaron Jones has some revenge on his mind as well. Breece Hall, he doesn't feel fun to start right now, but the Jets, they are kind of running him into the ground before he's gone. He's like an 80% snap guy right now. And then I feel like Mason Taylor, just given the options at wide receiver, they're probably playing from behind. Looks like a decent spot start to me at tight end. How do you see the action playing out in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of Breece Hall. I think he's probably one of the safer, if not the only safe play for the Jets this week. Mason Taylor, you know, a good tight end is always a nice safety valve for a quarterback who's just kind of coming into the offense. You know, and Tyrod Taylor, he kind of profiles as kind of guy who plays it safe a lot of the time. So I feel like Mason Taylor, he's got some juice as far as tight end streamers go. On the Jets side of the ball, though, that's really the only kind of action I'm wanting to get there. No. On the other side of the ball, I mean, it's your usual suspects. It's your Zay Flowers. It's your Lamar Jackson. It's your Derrick Henry. And then Mark Andrews, we're hoping for a touchdown, but it's, you know, probably likely that'll get one.
He's been getting them, dude. It's been wild, man. Like it was like a rushing touchdown last week, but he got there.
Let's go. And Isaiah likely being questionable too. That also gives, you know, it might be a little bit of a bone for Andrews.
I thought I saw this. There was a report earlier that it looks like he's likely to play. So
I mean, yeah, likely to play, but I mean, just
yeah,
you know.
Okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Chicago Bears here. This game is Chicago -3. We have 28% of the bets are on the Bears -3, 37% of the money. So it looks like people are betting on Pittsburgh here. The total sitting at 45. 41% of the tickets here are on the under, 34% of the money on the under here in this game. As far as the matchups in this one, Pittsburgh and the Chicago Bears faces good matchups across the board. No matchup worse than number 11 out of the 28 possible matchups, with one being the best, 28 being the worst this week. Now, as far as what Chicago faces in the Steelers, they're getting to be kind of a good matchup for opposing quarterbacks, believe it or not. And that takes into account the personnel, even the pass rush personnel on the other side, which just goes to show you it's a defense that plays, you know, defense that plays a lot of man coverage, man. They've had issues this year with wide receivers. Our number three matchup of the week for opposing wide receivers. And we do know, trash man, that Rome Odunze is a guy that really, really he goes big against teams that are man heavy. So Pitt certainly qualifies there. The injuries here, we have Aaron Rodgers it's his left wrist. He left the game last week, did not return. But he's been practicing and he kind of looks fine. And to me, it's not his throwing wrist. I guess the problem would be if he was under center, that bottom hand maybe is the issue that, you know, he kept him out last week. Some discomfort there. Maybe wouldn't be surprised if he has a brace on it or something this week. If he does happen to play, if he doesn't, we'll see, you know, I guess we'll see Rudolph again. Jaylen Warren was limited on Wednesday and Thursday. He did come back in the game for one play last week, but then it kind of acted like he didn't want to be back in, which was very tilting because he was at 62 rushing yards, and I just needed him to get to 72.5. And just one more series could have gotten him there for me. I know you guys who have Warren in your fantasy league certainly felt the pain there. If there is no Warren this week, which I don't think is going to be the case, it would be an absolute smash for Kenny Gainwell. He would be a borderline RB1. In the two games with no Jaylen Warren this year, he's basically averaging 30 fantasy points. So this is a really good matchup for opposing running backs. So I think the Gainwell could be in play. I'd be interested to hear what you think, Trashman. But I think that if Warren plays, I think you could play Warren, and I think you could play Gainwell too. It's interesting to me that somehow we are at the end of November, and it somehow looks like this is the worst weather game of the week, and all it is like sunny with maybe 10 mile per hour sustained winds. So really good fall weather this week across all of these games. Steelers, the tight ends, they've totally cannibalized each other. I don't ever know what to do with them. We talked about Rome. And then, the other thing, you know, Luther Burden got up to 61% of snaps last week. Could we see maybe a late season breakout for him? I think you know that you've got to play your DeAndre Swifts. You've got to play your DK Metcalfs. How do you see the action playing out here?
I mean, well, it's a tale of two teams with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph, but maybe not. I mean, Aaron Rodgers hadn't played spectacular ball, but I do feel like you're kind of Gainwell having some traction. Maybe there's more credence to that if Rudolph is under center, I think. I think they really lean more on that running game there. I think there's a better chance that you could use Gainwell, although I feel like a lot of people are going to have wasted their waiver priorities on Gainwell this week. In the passing game, like you said, the two tight ends there cannibalize each other. I was expecting a Freiermuth explosion last week after what he did to the
Bengals. It's impossible, these tight ends, man. I can't do it anymore.
Well, you know what, you know, you saw what he did to the Bengals, you know, in week 7, was it?
Yeah, and Jonnu.
Yeah, so you kind of expected that again, but what wasn't to be the case. Calvin Austin, I think, you know, there's some PPR juice, I guess, there for him, but not really much. There's really not much in that offense other than DK Metcalf and Jalen Warren, if he goes. I mean, and it can't wait on if Jalen Warren does not go. Otherwise,
what about Gainwell if Warren does go?
I mean, I would hope to have better options.
Well, I think you put him in your flex.
I think you could. On the other side of the ball, I feel like about him like I do about DJ Moore. You know, Moore is, I mean, the bottom's dropped out these last couple of games, but I mean, you can't deny the talent there. I mean, like when I would watch, when I then, you know, last went to the Bears camp, I mean, DJ Moore was the best player on the field. You know, maybe it's a psychological thing, maybe that he's the number two, maybe he's kind of given up a bit, but I feel like, you know, we're going to get a bounce back out of Moore sooner than later. And this is a great matchup for him.
I can't do it. I can't do it with DJ Moore trash, man. I'm done. I'm out.
You're out completely. I mean, I think this will be the best matchup he's had. Well, since the Dallas game,
it's an unbelievable match. It just profiles to me as such a Rome game. And it feels like Rome's due for he's kind of due for some bouncing back of his own. Let's go to the next one here. Talk about a dream setup. It's just hard to figure out exactly how things are going to go here with the New England Patriots traveling to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals here getting 8.5 points. They're 8.5 point underdogs here at home. And that's even with the idea that Joe Burrow could possibly be coming back here in this game. We have 67% of the tickets on the Patriots minus
8-2, right, man?
Yep. 67% of the tickets on the Patriots, 73% of the money. And then the over-under in this game sitting at 50.5. We have 27%, only 27% of the tickets are on the under, but 48% of the money. So the first kind of sharp lean here that we've seen so far as the bet percentage versus the actual money percentage looks to be the under in this game. If you're looking to take a side on the totals, just a lot to get to in this game as far as injuries and things to consider. And it just starts with Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. As of this recording, Ramondre remains limited with a toe, but it looks like now both he and Kayshon Boutte will be back this week. So they've had three limited practices, but it looks like they've been cleared and they are expected to play per the New England beat. For the Bengals, are we getting Joe Burrow back? I'm not sure. He's practicing full and Flacco has again been limited all week. We have Samaje Perine, who has DNP'd this whole time. He's probably out again. So obviously that's wheels up for Chase Brown. Once again, that's had like a 25%+ target share in these games where Samaje Perine hasn't played, which is just bananas that Perine could have that big an effect on his target share, but he seems to. Jamar Chase for this game has been suspended for spitting. Cincinnati also, they opened up the 21-day practice window on Mike Gesicki, so we will see what happens there with him. As far as Burrow, do you think he plays? And then does that – I guess it makes – T. Higgins is going to be an auto start for you anyway, but he's going to have to probably match up versus Christian Gonzalez here. I saw that you like Andre Yosivash as far as kind of an ancillary play here in this one. And then I just think with Chase Brown, it just goes worth mentioning. That's not just the Samaje stuff. It's also that, you know, Jamar Chase is out. T. two. I mean, that opens up a massive amount of targets. I don't think they'll all go to Chase Brown, of course, but a couple of them are going to funnel his way. And New England has given up the most running back receptions this season. So lining up well for Chase Brown this week. And then I'll throw it back to you. Just like, where are you right now with Travion and Stevenson? If Stevenson plays versus Cincinnati, I honestly think that they both can get there, but I think we're probably going to need to maybe need to back off our rankings a little bit here on Travion Henderson. I think he's probably going to be considered more of a lower end RB2 than a high end RB2, is kind of where I'm leaning right now, with Stevenson maybe slotting in just behind him as a kind of a high end RB3, just given the matchup. I'm not sure if they ease him back in or what they're going to do. The way that they've been deploying him has been frustrating, to say the least, if you've been a Travion Henderson owner. And Hunter Henry, I think, is the top priority streaming tight end target if he's available in your league. Whenever I make the matchup tool in the algorithm, it gives me like anything from like the best matchup would be a 100, right? And it generally goes down to like the worst matchups, like a 24 or 22, something like that. But it goes like, it's usually like one's like 100 and one's like 97. That'll be the number two matchup. One will be like 94, one will be like 91. With the Bengals, it goes from like 100 where the Bengals are to the next team's down at like 54. It's a chasm of difference. There's something systematically happening here with them. Hunter Henry, I think that the over on his receiving yards at 39.5 is just a total smash. How do you see the action playing out here in this one?
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, guys that you can actually get in your lineups, I feel like Travion Henderson is going to be a guy that you can get in no matter what. I feel like Ramondre Stevenson is more, I mean, chances are if you have Stevenson, you probably have to play him this week, considering, you know, all else has gone on in the fantasy football world up to this point. But he's more of a flex kind of play. I think Henderson, you can kind of slot in. I think because he's so versatile, he's going to get action either way. I mean, even if Stevenson does take some of those goal line carries, I think Henderson, he can score from far out. He can do a lot of damage. So I still feel comfortable about playing him. Keyshawn Booty is somebody I'm excited to see back.
You always are.
Well, he's good. He's good. He's really good. I mean, he's their number one receiver when he's on the field. Well, you look at week 6, 7, and 8. I mean, it's pretty evident he scored in every one of those games. He scored 4 touchdowns in those 3 games. I really like having Butte. I think if he's healthy, doesn't get a designation, I think you want him in your lineups for this matchup. I'm on the other side of the ball. Like you said, I like Andre Yoshilash in this matchup. You know, it's kind of the second or third option. In the third, I say, because Noah Fant, I think, is going to play a big role in this game. I think he's somebody you can stream in this game comfortably, and it's going to pay off for you.
All right, the New York Giants go to the Detroit Lions. The Lions here are 10.5-point favorites at home. 28% of the tickets here are on the Giants, 21% of the money. So no one likes the Giants. No money's following the Giants. The total here is sitting at 50.5. 66% of the tickets are on the over, only 57% of the money. So interesting here. People think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game, Trash Man. It was looking for a while like we were going to get Jaxson Dart back, but we are not. Jaxson Dart declared out on Friday morning, so it's another week of Jameis. Darius Slayton might be getting back this week. He's gotten in a couple of limited practices on Thursday and Friday. Laporta for Detroit remains out. And actually, we just got kind of disappointing news on him that even, you know, if the Lions make a playoff run, Dan Campbell is not.
Oh, Slayton's off the injury report.
Okay, so he's off. All right, so Slayton's going to play. Laporta is probably not going to be back this whole season with that procedure that he got. So his backup, Brock Wright, he had a questionable tag all week, but did get in a full practice on Thursday, at least. I've not checked about Brock Wright from Friday's practice. The Lions also look to be without Terry and Arnold, their cornerback, and their starting safety, Kirby Joseph. So they're banged up in the secondary. Trash Man, I think this is a smoke move if you got him week for the Lions. I play all the dudes. I think it's going to be a bounce back spot for Jared Goff. He's got famous dome splits. He's back in the dome. I like his first half passing yards over at like 140.5, because I think it could be a game where, you know, he gets gets hot to start the game, and they could just dust these Giants off in the second half with the run game. We have gotten some real good coach speak this week from Dan Campbell about wanting to get David Montgomery more involved. So we could maybe see that in the second half of this game. Jameson Williams, since Dan Campbell took over play calling.
I mean, it's like night and day.
It's been amazing. I mean, he's been a top five PPR wide receiver over the last three.
Like I always say, like if you actually give the guy a chance, he's one of the best receivers in the league.
Look, don't worry about Amon-Ra St. Brown. He last week it was terrible. It was like two catches, but he had 12.
Laporta being gone. I mean, both of these guys are going to eat.
He had 12 targets. He's going to be fine. I don't know. As far as the Giants, I mean, it's been frustrating. Yeah, I mean,
Slayton and Jameis, that's a match made in heaven.
All right. Well, how do you see it playing? Oh, and play the Detroit defense. I don't care if Arnold and Kirby, like, Jameis is going to be good for three picks here in this game. How do you see it playing out?
I mean, like, you can play Jameis, but you can also play the Detroit defense. I mean, that's the kind of matchup I think this is. And I like Slayton. I like Slayton with Jameis. I mean, Jameis is not afraid to go deep early and often in a game, and Slayton is a deep ball specialist. You know, like I said, it's I think it's a boon for both of those guys. I think if you have Slayton, you play him. If you pick Slayton up, then play him, because I think he's going to pay off for you. Devin Singletary, he's scoring touchdowns. He doesn't look as good as Tracy, but he's getting those scoring opportunities. I think he's somebody you can get in your flex. You know, the running back position, if you need the help there. On the other side of the ball, I think it's your usual suspects outside of Laporta. I think it really just, you know, the other guys who are important factors that offense are going to help fill in those gaps. I don't really care much about Brock Wright in this matchup.
The Minnesota Vikings traveled to the Green Bay Packers. Packers are 6.5-point favorites here in this one. 35% of the tickets on the pack, 54% of the money. 41.5 total seems low in this game, but JJ McCarthy does indeed stink and is just bringing down bringing down a lot of fantasy teams with Justin Jefferson for sure. The injuries to watch in this one: Josh Jacobs. Knee injury. They're calling him day to day after originally categorizing it as more week to week. I haven't heard as of Friday whether or not he's going to be playing or not. You know, LaFleur said he was, you know, he's looking good. They play on Thanksgiving. And so I was listening to one of the Twitter doctors, Dr. Jesse Morse, talk about it. He was saying that, you know, they're calling it a contusion, but the mechanisms of it don't look like a contusion to him. And he thinks it might be like a slight PCL strain. And if it is, and he gets re-injured in this one, you're going to be out Josh Jacobs for like a month. So I think it would be wise to sit him. And if you have Emmanuel Wilson sitting on your bench, you would love it if they sit him, because when you run projections, Emmanuel Wilson is projecting higher than I'm comfortable with. If you take Josh Jacobs out, you know, like, I think that the projections are maybe too high, considering him, like, you know, top five in raw points on the whole week. It doesn't seem right. But clearly he would be a great play if there's no Josh Jacobs this week. Coach speak from LaFleur this week as well about they didn't get Luke Musgrave involved enough. I'm not sure if I'm dying to get Luke Musgrave in this spot, but, you know, could probably do worse if there is a focus on him. All four Green Bay wide receivers have been limited in practice this week, but it seems like they're going to go. I mentioned about McCarthy. I don't know. Like, you're still playing Justin Jefferson, but I've never in my life just wished so badly for a team would bring back Carson Wentz. It's I know they can't. He's injured, but like, just dreaming of Carson Wentz just puts you on such tilt. And then Aaron Jones, terrific role last two games. Revenge spot. It's not a great matchup on paper. I think Jordan Mason should probably be on your bench. How do you see the action playing out here in this
one? I mean, it's not a great matchup on paper, but I feel like Aaron Jones is probably the only Viking who is, you know, a sure bet this week in this matchup. I feel like Addison lucked out with a touchdown last week. Jefferson, he's going to get targets. We don't know if they're going to be mostly Aaron, but I do feel like Aaron Jones is going to be somebody you can play comfortably this week for the Vikings. On the other side of the ball, I mean, we saw it with Christian Watson last week. He didn't have a ton of yards, but he had, you know, he scored. And it looks like if you're going to go with one of those Green Bay receivers this week, chances are, I guess Romeo Doubs, you could play too. You could play on any given week. I mean, like, I feel like his ceiling is capped, but his floor is pretty high there. Christian Watson, I think, is, you know, maybe more of a gamble, but I think, you know, I think if you're willing to take the risk on him, he could pay off for you big time there.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go to what I mean. It should, on paper, this should be a big, important game, right? The Indianapolis Colts travel to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Colts coming off bye, of course. The Chiefs now sitting at 5-5. They are 3.5-point favorites here at home. 42% of the tickets are on the Chiefs, only 28% of the money. So people are taking the Colts with the points here. Over under is sitting at 50 in this one. As far as the things I'm thinking about from a fantasy or player prop or DFS perspective, we have Isaiah Pacheco is out this week. That was announced on Friday after getting in some limited practices and acting like he was going to play. Daniel Jones was a weird Thursday addition to the injury report with what they said at the time was a calf. It came out on Friday that he's going to play, and it was not a calf. It was indeed a fibula injury of some kind. So keep an eye on that, but it looks like Daniel Jones will be good to play. Not sure how pumped I am to play him in this spot, though, Trash Man. Interested to hear your thoughts. And what is a must-win game for Kansas City? They're 5-5 on the season, but they are 4-1 at home. I don't know if they're going to be able to win the AFC West at this point, but they have to put the pedal to the metal for sure. I think you know who your auto starts are in this game. I'm not sure that I would consider Kareem Hunt to be one of them. I mean, you're playing Mahomes, you're playing Kelce, you're playing Rashee Rice. I don't know if you play Hunt. Do you play Hunt? You know, you're playing JT, but in this game, like, do you really want to play Pittman? Is this more of like a Josh Downs kind of, even though he's only playing 55-60% of snaps, there has been the longstanding thing, which hasn't been quite as true this year, about slot wide receivers versus the Chiefs. Alec Pierce, it seems to be becoming a player that you should probably have in your flex. I was reading Matthew Berry's column on Roto World, and what he mentioned on this one is that Kansas City is giving up the highest completion rate on passes of 15 plus air yards. So that kind of lines up well for Pierce's profile. And then just as far as props go, just another week, another time where it's probably smart to take Tyler Warren at like 7.5, 8.5 yards as far as his first quarter receiving. I think he's third in the league in first quarter receiving yards, and they never change his prop from 7.5 or 8.5 yards. It's been a smash all year, every week, I think, except for one. How do you see the action playing out here in this one?
Yeah, I do think you play Kareem Hunt. You know, he fared well against Denver last week, and I don't think the Colts' defense is better than Denver's defense. I think you're going to be able to use Hunt this week, just like Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce. Xavier Worthy, he's been unusable in fantasy. I think one of my props is on the under for his yardage this week.
It's not even very high, and you still want the under.
I was looking at his yardage totals, and I think he's gone over 40 yards maybe once this season.
It's been a rough season for Worth. I'd always said whenever he got drafted by the Chiefs, I'm like, the Chiefs has got a nuclear weapon, because Quinn Ewers could never connect with – they never were able to develop a connection at Texas, even though Worthy was always wide open. And I'm like, Worthy's going to get wide open in the NFL because he's the fastest man to ever run at the combine, and it's not like Patrick Mahomes ain't going to be able to connect with him. Fast forward 2 years, and Patrick Mahomes is having the same problems connecting with Xavier Worthy that every other quarterback has.
Maybe it's too fast for him. I mean, I think he's used to like – kind of a short kind of passing game, like with Travis Kelce. I think Rashee Rice is kind of like the best of both worlds. for him there, and that's why he uses him a lot. On the other side of the ball, I think Alec Pierce is probably the best of both worlds between Josh Downs and Michael Pittman, kind of a bigger target, but they can get downfield. And Daniel Jones seems to really like him. And Daniel Jones, he's one of those guys, once he likes somebody, he, you know, kind of targets the hell out of him. So I think Pierce is probably a safe play this week.
The Seattle Seahawks travel to the Tennessee Titans here. The Titans are getting 13.5 points at home in this one. We have 58% of the tickets on the Seahawks, 64% of the money. The over-under is sitting at 40.5 with 57% of the tickets on the under and 69% of the money on the under. So the bettors and the public alike thinking this game could be a bit of a snooze fest and maybe not a lot of scoring in this one, likely not thinking that Tennessee is going to get anything done versus that Seattle defense, I would imagine. It looks like Torrey Horton is probably going to stay out for this game on the Tennessee side. Alec Iamanner is looking very iffy. He did not practice on Thursday. Oh, and then Chig Okonkwo has been limited all week. Keep an eye on him on the Titans side. I mean, you know you're playing Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He dominates our wide receiver model. No matter the advanced metric, he's elite. Also, he leads the league in first half receptions. I love his 49.5 first half receiving yards over in this favorable matchup. Ken Walker looks like he's making a pretty significant move as far as kind of looking at like the lead back there. I think I like him in this game, especially if especially if the Seahawks can get up early.
Well, if the Seahawks get early, I like Zach Charbonnet this week.
Okay. That's fair enough.
I mean, I think you can play both of those guys this week.
If they do get up early, I do think Seattle's allowing the 6th most receiving yards to running backs. So that plus the projected game script makes me – I prefer Spears over Pollard, period, in this one. I think I just do in most situations. I'm not sure what Titan I want to play in fantasy. Maybe DK?
There isn't really one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Van Jefferson – you know, he looked like the lead receiver coming out of their last game. And with injuries to that receiving core, maybe he's somebody in PPR leagues who you could, you know, who you could stick in your flex and just hope that he gets enough targets to manifest a decent fantasy line. But other than that, you know, like you said, Spears, I like Spears more than Pollard. I think I think at this point in their career, he's a more versatile player. I think he could end up doing more damage, but for me, it's Spears and Van Jefferson if you squint.
The afternoon window will kick off at State Farm Stadium there in Glendale, Arizona. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to the Cardinals. The Cardinals are getting 3 points here at home. 57% of the tickets are on the Jaguars, only 34% of the money. So our second kind of sharp angle here would be the Arizona Cardinals plus the 3 points. As far as the differentiation between the bet percentage and the money percentage, again, I'm looking at the premium odds widget that's on the premium downloads page at rosterwatch.com for our premium members who also get access to the player prop cheat sheet and the hyper picks generator here. I don't know, Trashman. At the very beginning of the week with this game, I thought that we were going to maybe get Trey Benson back, and we still might. His 21-day window's opened up, but Arizona signed Jamar Jefferson to the active roster and brought in Sincere McCormick to their practice squad, which makes me think that his return is probably about a week off. Of course, we know there's no Marvin Harrison Jr., no Amari DiMarcado. Bam Knight's been limited, but he's been limited the last few weeks and played, so I think he probably plays. On the Jacksonville side, Brian Thomas Jr. has been limited, but looks like he's going to go, I think. The most interesting thing to me is that so last week, Bashiel Tutin leaves the game with an ankle injury, and I'm thinking here he's the one that's banged up. Then Tutin and Travis Etienne are both limited during the week. And then on Thursday, they have Travis Etienne with a shoulder injury in a non-contact jersey, but Bashiel Tutin practicing with no non-contact jersey. So it's like Etienne's more banged up than Bashiel Tutin based on that context clue. Are you worried at all about Etienne? And if so, can you start Bashiel Tutin or could you play both if they both play? Both got there for fantasy last week. And then these Cardinals, you know, no MHJ, like people will have gone to the waiver wire to pick up Michael Wilson. I didn't think it was the best pickup because I figured that Marvin Harrison Jr. would be back this week and he would go back to probably being the dust ball that we're used to. But he's got you can't just put 185 yards last week, you know, right back into the genie, back into the bottle. I can't believe that his receiving props are sitting still at like 56 and a half receiving yards. It's a good matchup. He should operate as the pure number one again. I guess not the pure number one. That's kind of McBride, although he did out target McBride last week. How do you see the action playing out here?
I mean, I think you definitely should use Wilson. I think in some formats you can use Greg Dortch. I mean, I think in some PPR, you know, deeper leagues, you could use Greg Dortch in your flex, and I think that'd be fine. Bam Knight, I think, is going to be very usable this week if all things, you know, stay as they are. And then on the other side of the ball, I think you could play both Etienne and Tootin this week. I think other than them, I mean, Parker Washington has –
if BTJ comes back, it's going to be really hard just figuring out Parker Washington, BTJ, Jacoby Myers. Like, well, come on. It's going to be tough.
Do we know if Brian, I mean, he's a limited participant Thursday.
Yeah, at the time of the recording, I haven't seen anything from Friday practice yet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it does make it harder if Brian Thomas Jr. is on the field. I mean, you definitely have to play Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington.
You have to play him.
Huh?
Do you have to play him?
I mean, who else would you put out there for the Jaguars? I mean, who else would you play if Brian Thomas is available?
Oh, I'm just talking about in my lineup. I think there are guys who I might have on my roster that I might like better. You know,
would you play? Would you play like a Christian Watson over Brian Thomas Jr.?
Oh no, I'm just talking about guys like, you know, I would consider. I would consider somebody like I think there are guys like Michael Wilson or Romeo Doubs or stuff like that that you could just consider that people might. I just don't think he's a guy you must play, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in the league, one of the leagues I have them, you know, it's you know, two flex spots, and just two wide receiver spots. So, I mean, I'm probably going to use a flex spot on him
I think that's fine.
Available.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's perfectly reasonable. Let's go here to the next one. The Cleveland Browns travel to the Las Vegas Raiders here. The Raiders are 3.5-point favorites at home. We have – whoa. Look at this. Only 19% of the tickets are on the Raiders with 33% of the money. So maybe a kind of a sharp angle there on taking the Raiders minus the points. The over-under sitting at a puny little, tiny, teeny little baby whittle, 36 and a half. 36 at Caesars. No, golly. And 57% of the tickets are on the under, but 71% of the money is on the over. So maybe this is that. That's another sneaky, sharp over spot. I don't know, man. I just – what a – not sure that this one's going to make it onto one of the main TVs, Trash Man, but it looks like Gabriel is going to be out again.
You don't want to see Sanders in with a full game ahead of him?
Shadur time versus Max Crosby. Let's just turn it. good luck.
I mean, I would like to see Sanders with, you know, with the start, see what he does with that.
Quinshon Judkins is averaging 19 touches per game over the last 6 weeks. He's RB2 in touch share on the whole slate over that same span. As far as Jerry Jeudy, if you look at that same span, he's wide receiver and expected fantasy points. So if you get points for expected fantasy points in your league, he's been unbelievable. But who knows what we're going to do with Shadur Sanders here. Ashton Jeanty had all of 6 carries versus Dallas, which is unacceptable and unbelievable. Normally, I think they'd try to kind of rectify that this week and maybe feed him and say that was so bad what we did versus Dallas, we can't ever do it again. But it's not quite the best matchup. I think on the Raiders side, I mean, I think Jinty's probably – you're going to have to start him. And I think Bowers is the only other surefire starter, right, Trash Man? How do you see the action playing out here?
on the Browns side of the ball, I mean, Judkins, you got to play him. I think with Shearer being under center in the first game, I think it kind of does kind of reignite Fannin's prospect, you know, as a streamer at the tight end position.
It looks like Njoku's going to play. I should have mentioned that.
So. Okay. I mean, well, either one of those guys, I mean, I think have an offhand, you know, outside shot at a decent fantasy day with a you know, rookie quarterback under center. Judy versus Tillman, I want to say, I mean, it's a good spot for wide receivers, you know, the Raiders are, but I can't trust either of those guys in this spot with a young quarterback like that, unproven quarterback like that. I'd like to see a game with him together before I did something crazy like that. On the other side of the ball, Tucker, he's getting the targets. I think it's going to pay off sooner than later. He's somebody I'm excited to play potentially in this
one. Excited to play Trey Tucker.
Huh?
You're excited to play? You're like, oh, all right. Let's just win.
It's one of those guys, you know, you picked up and you're like, when can I actually use him? You know, and I feel like this is the spot where you can actually use him, you know, and it'll pay off for you.
You're going to have these lineups full of all these guys that you're excited. You became the trash man.
Yeah, this is what the trash man gets excited about. You know,
put your lineup together with Kayshon Booty and Trey Tucker. All right, let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys here, 3.5-point underdogs at home in this 47.5 over under game. We have 64% of the tickets are on the Eagles minus 3.5. 52% of the money, so it's probably not too much to see there. No Lane Johnson for Philly, which is that's a big deal for their offense, man. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the whole league, the best right tackle in the league. And I don't have the splits in front of me, but if you look at Saquon Barkley's splits on games that he's missed, it's like it has a role on Saquon, who hasn't been as good this year as he was last year. You have to keep playing him. But the other thing is, it looks like Cam Jurgens, we'll just keep an eye on him. I believe it was a concussion, their starting center. So if they're out there starting center and they're starting right tackle, that becomes a little bit worrisome for me. Also worrisome for me in just a kind of a superstitious way. It's an afternoon game in Dallas, and it's not a huge deal, man, but it's like the sun's going to get in one of these guys' eyes and they're going to drop a ball at some point. I don't know why Jerry did it like this, but it puts me on such
tilt. Loves the drama. We know that.
So is it a play all the guys kind of matchup for you, or do you worry about A.J. Brown? He hasn't been good, really.
He hasn't been good, but this is a great matchup. Yeah, this is a game, I think, where you can play all your
– I think you play on either sides,
yeah.
Yeah, so and you know who they are. It's Dak, it's Javonte, it's CeeDee Lamb, it's Pickens, it's Ferguson, it's Jalen Hurts, it's Saquon Barkley, it's A.J. Brown, it's Devontae Smith, it's Dallas Goedert. Play them all, you know?
I mean, those are some of the easiest – I mean, like some of those boring fantasy teams to, like, you know, prognosticate on, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, That's why they pay us the big bucks, trash man, is that kind of analysis. Just play everybody. All right, the final game here of the main slate, the Atlanta Falcons traveling to the New Orleans Saints in the Caesars Superdome. We have the Saints here as 1.5-point favorites at home in this game. 66% of the tickets are on Atlanta plus the money, but only 51% of the money is. The over-under here is not quite as puny as that little baby one in the Cleveland-Las Vegas game, but it is 39.5 here in this one. So Penix, we know, is out for the year. We know that Drake London is week to week. So Atlanta is going to have Kirk Cousins under center, who looks decrepit and dusted and terrible, just terrible. And people are going to say, oh, well, you know, this opens up all the targets for Darnell Mooney. He's looked terrible. Cousins' top options are going to be Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, David Sills V, and Kadarrell Hodge. So I think what you do is you run the heck out of the ball. And I mean, if you know you're playing Bijan Robinson, but I think you can play Algier.
Yeah, you can definitely play Algier this week.
Like, I think they're just going to have to run it before the bye. versus Carolina, I believe it was. Kamara got the 25 touches for 115 yards. I think you should probably be playing him in a top seven matchup for opposing running backs. And then Tyler Shuck has been bad for getting wins and stuff like that. But like, as far as for like he's not been bad at all for Chris Olave. Chris Olave has been kind of good with all of them, but Tyler Shuck really likes Olave. Tyler Shuck really likes his college teammate, Juwan Johnson. I was reading in Evan Silva's matchups column that in his two starts, Shuck is 7 of 8 passing for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns when he targets Juwan Johnson. So I think that he's probably a good pickup this week. I would play Kamara
up every week. I still don't know how he's so available.
He's available in some of like my relatively competitive home leagues, but leagues I play in with dudes who not like industry leagues, but with dudes who care. He can be available in those, and frustratingly, those are leagues where I have tight ends like McBride or stuff like that, where it's hard to pick up Juwan Johnson. But anyway, how do you see the action playing out here?
I mean, I think you touched on everybody who's relevant here. I think Olave, Juwan Johnson, Kamara on the New Orleans side of the ball. I think on the Atlanta side of the ball, it's Algier, Bijan, and Pitts. Darnell Mooney, you can play him. I mean, he's probably going to get the targets. Where they pay off for you, is yet to be seen and probably won't be seen. I know how slow a starter Kirk Cousins is when he's been good. So the fact that, he's kind of aging out and, it's only his second game that he's playing in this season. I don't expect a lot out of him.
I can't believe it. I would have bet all the money in the world and I would have lost that based on your recommendations during this show and your general track record of doing this for the last 15 years as a profession, that there wasn't a wide receiver from the Saints that you mentioned, especially now with Brandon Cooks having been cut. Trash man, what is wrong with you? You're slipping up. I can't believe you did not mention Devon Bailey.